Welcome to Diagram Dialogues, a podcast that explores the forces transforming healthcare across Asia-Pacific and the ways in which diagnostics is shaping this future. These episodes will feature leading voices, from innovators and changemakers to patient advocates who are dreaming of a better tomorrow and making it a reality. Hear how they are innovating diagnostics, shaping healthcare, and changing lives. In this episode, I'm joined by Professor Ed Gane, Chief Hepatologist, Transplant Physician, and Deputy Director of the New Zealand Liver Transplant Unit at Auckland City Hospital in New Zealand. He was also the clinical advisor for the National Hepatitis B Screening Program in New Zealand that ran from 1999 to 2002, which was a good step towards improving the liver health ecosystem in New Zealand. Professor Gane, can you please introduce yourself?
Hello, I'm Ed Gane. I'm the lead hepatologist and deputy director of the New Zealand Liver Transplant Unit, and I'm also a professor of medicine at the University of Auckland.
What is the disease burden of hepatitis and HCC in New Zealand?
New Zealand has a high burden of viral hepatitis. We have almost 100,000 people living with hepatitis B and another 30,000 living with hepatitis C. As a result, we have really high rates of liver cancer.
What are some of the challenges in detecting and managing chronic liver disease in New Zealand?
Well, I think the biggest barrier is lack of diagnosis. And there are many challenges in increasing diagnosis of viral hepatitis. It's really improving public awareness, overcoming the stigma associated with hepatitis B and hepatitis C, and improving access to testing.
In 2000, you were the Ministry of Health Clinical Advisor for the National Hep B Screening Program in New Zealand that ran from 1999 to 2002. Can you tell us a bit more about this program?
This is really the result of a lot of work done in the early and mid-1980s by the Hepatitis Foundation of New Zealand, in particular by Sandy Milne, when they were trying to roll out universal neonatal vaccination across the country. They realized that no matter how successful vaccination was in preventing new cases of hepatitis B, it would not help the adults already infected who were living in our country. And so they really worked lobbying the government to provide a testing program for all Māori, Pacific Islander, and Asian New Zealanders. And this began in 1999 and ran for 3 years. And over that time, all Māori, Pacific Islander, and Asian New Zealanders over the age of 15, so born before neonatal vaccination, were offered a one-off test for hepatitis B. Everyone who is found to be hepatitis B surface antigen positive was then offered long-term follow-up.
How is the pilot program different from others?
Well, I think, first of all, it's not a pilot. It's an ongoing program, and it's a national program. So it's not just one part of the country. It's the entire country of New Zealand where people have been tested for hepatitis B. They are provided lifelong follow-up with six-monthly monitoring. It differs in that it's entirely funded by the government, but it's conducted by an NGO, the Hepatitis Foundation of New Zealand. And they really have been doing this since the mid-1980s, so they are very experienced and very good at engaging with the patients and with the patients' communities. And here you really need to engage with Māori, Pacific Islander, and Asian communities across the country. They provide the service at no cost to the patients and no cost to the GPs. So the GPs are able to refer new patients, as are found, to the foundation, who then take over the long-term surveillance.
So what were some of the outcomes you observed after the implementation of the National Hep B Screening Program?
First of all, it led to a huge increase in the numbers of people diagnosed with hepatitis B in our country. And almost all of them have entered long-term surveillance. And that, over the last 25 years, has led to a marked increase in the detection of early liver cancer which can be cured. Prior to the hepatitis B screening and surveillance program, almost all cases of liver cancer in our country were diagnosed at the late stage following the onset of symptoms, when really there were no therapeutic options and survival was very short. Now, more than half of our patients are diagnosed in the early stage and are offered curative intent therapy. Another outcome has been the increase in treatment of the underlying chronic hepatitis B. This did coincide with the advent of the first safe and well-tolerated oral treatments, namely lamivudine, later entecavir and tenofovir. So we now have a significant number of people on long-term therapy, and that's thanks to the Hepatitis Foundation picking these patients up and referring them.
How were the National Hep B screening program and the HCC surveillance program able to secure sustainable funding?
I think it was due to lobbying by the Hepatitis Foundation of New Zealand, who pointed out that hepatitis B and hepatocellular carcinoma adversely affect Māori and Pacific Islanders. And our government regards Māori, the Indigenous New Zealanders, as the highest priority group for improving health outcomes for this population. So the fact that hepatitis B disproportionately affected Māori and Pacific Islanders did help us get funding at the beginning, and that funding has continued. Another reason why our government has been willing to fund the screening program and then long-term surveillance for patients with hepatitis B is because we now have inexpensive and effective interventions such as antiviral therapies, which prevent long-term outcomes, long-term complications of hepatitis B. We also have, by providing regular six-monthly surveillance, we're able to pick up patients with early liver cancer when they can be treated with very simple interventions such as ablation and resection.
What role does the general public play in the success of the screening program?
I think the general public play a huge role. In the very beginning, a lot of work went into improving awareness about chronic hepatitis B and removing the stigma associated with this condition in those affected communities. And there's a lot of engagement with leaders of the Māori, Pacific Island, and Asian communities across the country. And they really have supported this. They see this as an intervention which improves health outcomes for their communities.
So moving forward, how would you suggest addressing HCC surveillance, clinical gaps, and funding gaps in New Zealand?
I think our biggest issue as we diagnosing more and more people with chronic hepatitis B and other conditions associated with hepatocellular carcinoma, and because the numbers of people are increasing, in particular due to the obesity and diabetes epidemic in our country, we're seeing far more patients with NASH at risk for developing liver cancer. We need to have the capacity to perform regular surveillance. At this time, for the highest risk patients, we are recommending six-monthly alpha fetoprotein and liver ultrasound. As the numbers of people referred for ultrasound increase, our system will really fail to cope with this. You know, we're really facing a supply and demand issue here with ultrasound. Many parts of the country, they don't have access to ultrasound, in particular now rural areas. So I think we really need to look at alternatives to ultrasound. And that's where really I think the benefit of new serum markers such as PIVK2 and GAD will be so important.
So based on your experience from implementing the program, what learnings or advice would you like to share with others?
I do think there's importance of having multi-stakeholder partnership in developing surveillance programs. There are precedents for this. For our hepatitis C program, for example, we have strong support from pharmaceutical companies who provide ready access to point-of-care testing and linkage to care. I think a similar approach could be taken to hepatitis B and to surveillance programs in developing new and better ways to monitor our patients.
How can other countries in the region implement screening and surveillance programs and include it in their strategic plans?
I think the governments, in particular the ministries of health, need to understand the benefits of early detection of hepatitis serous carcinoma. For a hepatitis B screening program to be successful, it needs to be a national program and it needs to be fully funded. You cannot expect only those patients who can afford to go and get the tests to be the only ones to benefit from this.
So what are some of the gaps you see in health systems in APAC when it comes to detection and management of hepatitis? And what are some solutions you think need to be put in place to improve the overall quality of care?
I think there are still some very difficult to reach populations. People live in isolated areas. People with high levels of socioeconomic deprivation. People with poor health literacy, with no access to doctors, no access to screening or surveillance. And I think new migrants in particular are very unlikely to participate in screening and surveillance programs. I think solutions to improve recruitment of these hard-to-reach populations is to engage those communities, to provide education, awareness about the benefits of screening and surveillance, and really providing this at no cost to those people who are unable to pay. I think one way to find more patients and recruit more patients into surveillance programs is to make access to testing much more simple. In New Zealand, we rolled out a Stick It to Hep C campaign a year ago, and that really used the finger prick point of care testing for Hep C everywhere in the community, and people could walk into their local pharmacy, to their GP, or many other centres and get a test and find out whether they had Hep C and then be referred to treatment. I think we need to do the same thing for hepatitis B. There are good point of care tests for hepatitis B. They're inexpensive, and I think that will increase people coming in to get tested.
With shifting trends in HCC etiology to non-viral causes, how might the screening and surveillance strategies look like?
Well, I think we're seeing a change in the spectrum of liver disease we look after. Although viral hepatitis is still very important, we're seeing really a very steady increase in the number of people with metabolic-associated steatotic liver disease, MASLD, or what we used to call NASH. And this is due to the obesity and diabetes epidemics in our country. This provides a real challenge for surveillance. The problems are that if we're just going to survey people with cirrhosis, it can be very difficult to diagnose cirrhosis without biopsies. FibroScans are not always reliable in our obese and morbidly obese patients. Ultrasound may not be very good for identifying small HCCs in patients with very steatotic livers. But to me, the biggest challenge in this group is the fact that we are seeing hepatitis serous carcinoma in patients with NASH who don't have cirrhosis. And so who are you going to survey and who are you not? You can't offer ultrasound to everyone with NASH. We just don't have the capacity to offer that. But it may be reasonable to have less expensive serum markers for HCC to use in a wider population of people with NASH.
Professor Gain, thank you for your time today. And that is the end of this episode. Thanks for tuning in. To find out more about Roche Diagnostics and Diagram Dialogues, please visit rochediagram.com. Stay tuned for the next episode.